Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Finally, Friday is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIPs from around the world. Join in the fun, get access to original content, and support your favorite shows by pointing your browser to members.majorspoilers.com. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of another week. We've made it through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and we finally arrived at Friday. Although, according to my son, it's still Tuesday. He's three.
Nice.
The weirdest thing was that today he was talking about how he doesn't have to go to school on the red days or the blue days. And I was like, what the heck does that mean?
Days.
Yeah, Ashley Victoria Robinson joining us on the show this week. Hello, Ashley.
Hi.
I'm gonna hold that story until we get to the end of the show.
Okay.
And so everybody knows what the red days and the blue days are. But I'm so glad that you're joining us this week.
Me too.
Somebody's already on the line. Let's get to them. Hi, caller. Who is this?
Hi, this is Tim from Germany.
Hey, how are you all the way from Germany? Let me guess, Guten Abend. Guten Nacht is what it is over there, right? Nighttime.
Yeah,
all right. So
you're in the like German part of Kansas.
Yeah. Actually, it's the Volga German region, so it'd be like Russia, Germany conflict area.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is new with you?
Yeah, for me, mainly I felt like comics was kind of like down this week, just in news and stuff going on.
Oh, as far as all the news going on? Yeah, I kind of would agree with you. I think there's a reason for that, and we'll get to that in just a moment.
There was no Supergirl news this Friday.
No Supergirl news. That's what I was waiting for. Waiting for the latest.
Also wanting to say that it's great that actually it's like semi-regular on Finally Friday now.
Apparently. I am too.
Yeah. I'm trying, guys. I have a job.
Well, we're super glad that your schedule allows you to be on here.
Oh, thank you. You're a treasure.
Did you hear that? Ashley Victoria Robinson, a treasure.
I'm going to put that on my business card now.
Yeah, put it right up there on your resume.
Just short story about it, because you did the geek history lesson on cabin pressure, and I just saw that like in my podcast plan. I'm like, what is this? Well, I want to listen to this. Like, what is this about? And I like listen to it. And by now, I think I have listened to the whole of cabin pressure like 4 times or 5 times.
Yes!
Excellent.
I'm so excited. I love that show.
Yeah, but on shows, like, it's great that Flash is back on next week, finally.
Yes, yeah. I am. Oh, man, I cannot wait. It's going to be a good one. It's called Out of Time. It's not the time travel episode, but it is one that features the Weather Wizard.
The Weather Wizard, the second one, I think, that showed
up.
Yeah,
the second one. The one that actually has good powers. And I don't know if you guys saw this. Have you guys seen the teaser for that episode yet?
Oh, yeah.
They continue to get super meta in the Flash, because they're talking about how the Weather Wizard, the guy that's in this upcoming episode, how he has the power to control the weather better than his brother, the one who died in the pilot episode. And Cisco goes, oh, Weather Wizard will be his name. I've been waiting since week one to use that one. And it's just like, what? They keep doing this. And I'm just waiting for Cisco to turn to the camera one of these days and say, hello, audience. Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
They also they had Cisco say a line in a couple episodes ago where he was like, that villain was like 3 weeks ago, guys.
Yeah. And it literally was 3 weeks ago. It's weird.
Yeah. Do we know anything why there was this delay with this and with Arrow?
It's because they were behind on the special effects for Flash. So they went on hiatus and they aired a couple of Arrow episodes in the meantime while they were catching up. Because Flash is so effects heavy with Grant Gustin's running.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
But also the quality of effects on that is like super great, I feel like.
For television, it's outstanding.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
We were actually...
I'm always just so happy when like he uses super speed for like totally mundane stuff.
Yeah.
This makes me smile inside. It's like just so great. It's like what everyone would do.
Yeah.
Like when
he
wakes up late.
Yeah.
Or when he needs to clean his room or get dressed. Yeah.
Yeah, like someone wants pizza and he's like bloop bloop.
Well, everyone knows he's Flash, so apparently everyone's just gonna call him to do them favors now.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, we were talking in my special effects class. I'm teaching a special effects class at the university this semester.
Nice.
And one of the nice things about the Flash is they can bring back recurring characters like the Weather Wizard or Captain Cold or Heat Wave. And the cool thing is they've already done the effects. They already know how to create Captain Cold's freeze ray. So they don't have to rebuild those effects every time. They may have to still layer them in and composite them in and do all the magic, but they don't have to do the figuring out how is this going to look, how is it going to work, or anything like that. So that does make it a little bit easier, even though you still have to do tons of rotoscope and tons of particle work and all that stuff. So,
well, they paid something like $1 million.
Anything else on your mind today?
Justin running, so that's why it shows up all the time, because they paid a lot of money for it.
Here we go. Now they're back. Anything else?
Yeah.
What happened?
Everything else, like
I think I lost everybody. Everybody's talking. No. I'm the only one that can hear. There we go.
Hello.
There we go. Now everybody's back. For some reason, now granted, I'm using a plugin that expired in 2005 when they stopped supporting it, but Sound Flower Bed gives me a little bit of hiccups here and there. So yes, you guys are back.
Yeah. Maybe just like two other things. I think that was this week or last week, like we had new Avengers coming out and they had this constant thing of like worlds colliding and things, and one character, the Black Swan, always attributing it to like this one deity or character thing. Like
yeah.
called Abumrala or something.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
And it was in the beginning there was a lot of discussion, okay, like they just need to go and like punch this dude and then the problem is solved. Like on the internet. And I was like, okay, like this is a concept that they have, like this is their explanation for this phenomenon.
Yeah.
And it was revealed that it was actually a dude, like just a dude. But who it was amazing. This reveal was like even better than just saying, okay, it's like not a thing at all. And so it was really great by Hickman, and it was was using one of his favorite characters, I think, and everything leading up to Secret Wars is just so great in scale.
Yeah.
Which is like for an Avengers title and beforehand, it's just amazing what we're doing there, I feel like.
I'm interested to see how it all plays out, especially with Secret Wars and Convergence both going on at the same time, because they're gonna smash into one another on the stand, and it's gonna be super crazy. So
As someone who works at a comic book store, I'm not excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the content, but not the work it's going to take.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a lot of sorting and bagging and boarding and all that stuff. So,
but for that, like, I feel like the core series are not going away for Marvel. What they're saying, like they were saying that Ms. Marvel is going on. That this one will not die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it gives them, like, now with Superior Iron Man, like, I feel like for that, it's a great jump, just, like, clear exit point, because they get to tell this one story that we're doing right now, and then explore that, and then we go back to a regular Tony Stark with a, like, then you don't have to fiddle around within, like, the book and within continuity so much to, like, reset everything.
Yeah.
And then with DC, what they're saying to have their few core titles and then other books around that can like play around more.
Yeah, they said that.
I have trust in that. I don't have any trust in Convergence right now.
Yeah, the nice thing is post-Convergence. Tim, thanks so much for your call. We've got some other callers we want to get in on here. The interesting thing about Convergence, and we talked a little bit about this earlier this week on Major Spoilers podcast or one of the other shows, is they're focusing on telling canon stories that don't have to be in continuity, but are so good people will always remember them, like Kingdom Come, like The Killing Joke, those kinds of things. So I'm hoping they can do that. James, what do you think?
I'm super excited for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm all on board for Convergence.
Yeah. James, what do you think?
Hey, guys. Happy finally Friday.
Happy Friday.
Friday, finally. Yeah, except I'm probably going to have to work this weekend. But
oh,
hey,
boo.
What are you going to do?
Hey, yeah,
yeah. It's life. No, I got to tell you, I don't know about Convergence. I'm lost on this one. I don't know whether I'm excited about it or I'm scared of it, or at the end of the day, it's going to be what it's going to be, regardless of what
right.
we want to do.
Right.
So I don't know. I guess I'm hopeful that they don't screw it up. I guess that's the best thing to say is we're hopeful that they don't screw it up. I wanted to call in and talk about two things.
Okay.
That were off the top of my head real quick.
All right.
Number one, Ghostbusters.
All right.
Was talked about on MSP this week.
Yes.
All right. All right. So I want to point something out. And Stephen, I know you are afraid. I don't know.
Oh, I'm not afraid of it.
Concerned. Concerned about franchise.
No, I'm not. My argument is I think that it makes sense in the universe, in the movie universe, for them to franchise and have, you know, like I was talking about, West Coast Ghostbusters, Great Lakes Ghostbusters, all that stuff. I think that's a perfect. I think that's a perfect idea. My concern comes from outside the movie franchise universe, the appearance of what Sony is doing to the all female version of the movie.
Well, as Let a female, me- I want to chirp in and say that it does look like pandering to the male audience
yes.
to be like, oh, you're mad about the girls? Oh, well, here's your white guy movie. Yeah, everything yeah, yeah. will be okay.
That's my biggest concern. In movie universe makes perfect sense.
Okay, yeah. So let me throw this wrinkle in, okay?
Okay.
In 2000, I want to say 10,
mm-hmm.
don't quote me on that.
Oh, did you send me an email or text about this?
I think I did.
Okay.
The Ghostbusters video game came out,
mm-hmm.
and it was a wonderful fishing game. If you liked fishing, it was a great game. Played the whole thing through because I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. Was written, the script was actually written by Dan Aykroyd,
mm-hmm.
And I think Harold Ramis had part to do with it, but don't quote me on that. But they had all the original cast with the exception of Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
Because Rick Moranis doesn't do anything, and right. Sigourney Weaver, they probably couldn't afford her.
Right.
Anyway, so the script was written. Everybody did the script at the very end of the movie, or the video game. By the way, spoilers. This was supposed to be a movie. So this was the theoretical Ghostbusters 3 movie.
Oh, 3 movie. Okay.
At the end of the movie, your character has the opportunity to go and start off a franchise location in one of like 5 different cities.
Oh, cool.
And that was the way the movie ended. So mm-hmm. if they're coming back and saying, oh, we're going to have a boy girl Ghostbusters and a girl Ghostbusters. I don't know about that. I, you know, that's kind of on the sexist line.
Right.
But the franchise thing was long planned.
Yeah.
This was in the hopper for a while.
Well, I think that was even in the original Ghostbusters game. You remember the Atari or Commodore game from right. back in the day? You had to go and build up your Ghostbusters franchise by going out and getting ghosts and then buying add-ons to your Ecto-1 and your plasma guns and all that stuff.
Right, but I think that was still construed, even in the game, that you were still in Manhattan.
Ah, okay.
So I don't know how this is going to pan out, but I'm not afraid of the franchise thing. I'm a little, I don't know. Ashley, you tell me how you feel about an all girls versus all boys Ghostbusters. You would know better than I would because I don't know how to feel about it. I'm kind of like on the middle line because,
well, it's
know,
good that you're concerned about it. That's the most important part.
Middle-aged white boy syndrome, but you know, what are you going to do?
It's one of those things that feels like a good shot at representation, but it would have been just as interesting if it had been two guys and two girls, you know, having everyone on equal footing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my concern too comes from, are they going to release them within a couple months of each other? Are they going to release them at the beginning, the end of the summer season? Because then they're in competition, and that's something that Stephen brought up on MSP.
Right.
And that's what makes it feel hanky. Whereas if they were spaced out maybe by a year and then they all combined in a third movie,
mm-hmm.
I think that might go down better, but I don't know. It feels like it's cool, but there is part of it that still feels icky to me as a female.
Well, and I think especially with the announcement, right? I mean, they only made this an official announcement. I mean, we kind of knew that they were doing the all-female Ghostbusters and working on it for a long time, but it only came up official about, what, 2 months ago or something like that.
Well, official depends on whether you consider the Sony leaks official or not.
Right.
I mean, it was technically official, but it wasn't like they planned on it.
Right. So, I mean, the word was out there and we knew that it was happening, but the announcement that this all male version that they were also doing so soon on the heels of the other announcement does just seem like pandering, and it seems problematic to me. If they do like what they're doing with Star Wars and you're getting one new Ghostbusters film a year for the next 10, 20 years, great. I hope they do all come together and work together in Ghostbusters 10.
I don't know if I want 10 or 20 years of Ghostbusters back to back. That just seems like a lot of ghosts out there.
We got Marvel movies announced for the next 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, we got DC movies.
You can go off in different spectrum with Marvel movies.
Well, you can have real Ghostbusters.
The real Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters now, the amazing Ghostbusters, the invincible Ghostbusters. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, Ghostbusters pets, that'd be funny.
Yeah, there we go. That'd be awesome. But no, I don't know. It just seems interesting. I'd like to see where they're taking it. My only other concern with that is, and people are going to smack me for saying this, I'm sorry, Channing Tatum.
Oh, man, I want to see a movie with Channing Tatum in it. He's very funny.
But he has been drafted into these roles where he's either A, cheesecake, or B, not smart. And I'd like to see him in a smart role. I'd like to see him almost in an Egon role in this movie.
Right.
Just to...
He won't be, though. He'll be Peter.
Yeah, I know.
That's what gets me. so that was point one.
Okay.
So I know there'll be other talk about Ghostbusters.
Sure.
I don't want to commoditize all the Ghostbusters talk. The other thing that I wanted to bring up was Howard the Duck with you and Matthew this week.
Yeah.
Was 155% spot on.
Oh, man, that was such a great comic.
Thought that was the best comic this week. And Marvel had a lot of good comics this week. I mean, Ms. Marvel was very good. Captain Marvel, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good. Both very solid comics this week. But, oh, my gosh, Howard the Duck. I mean, I thought, okay, this is going to be good. I didn't think it'd be this good.
Yeah. No, I forgot to mention it in the show, but there is the funniest bit when Spider-Man is like, "What's all that commotion over there? I better get over there." And by the time he gets there, Howard's been zapped, and there's just this burnt spot on the ground, and he collapses on the ground. He's like, "Oh, Uncle Ben, oh, Uncle Ben," and I was just like, "Oh, that was great."
And to anybody out there who has not gotten this comic book, stop. Go get it now.
Yeah.
Go get it. I can't leave. I'm recording. Go to Comixology.
Well, it's a good thing you got Comixology. Yeah, there you go.
No, I thought those two things really needed to be mentioned. I was really impressed with how overall that comic just laid out. And the only other thing I just really want to mention is, Ashley, I'm waiting. Red Shirt Diaries. Come on.
Oh my God, we don't start shooting for like a month.
I know, but I'm jonesing here. I want more. No, I totally loved it. And I wanted to make sure, because I never heard back from Jason. You guys got my Hikaru special, right? That I sent over from Amazon?
Okay. Oh my God.
Okay. I wanted to make sure you
got it. Did he never say thank you?
No, he said, I told him that I sent it, and he said, thank you for sending it. But I never confirmed he got it. So that's what I was only confirmed in season two. Okay. That's all I wanted to make. I don't care if it makes an appearance. I just wanted to make sure you guys got it more than
thank you. We
else.
Did. And so. And it does because of Trillane.
Awesome. All right, guys. I'm going to cut out. Have a great weekend for right, whatever James. You're not working. And we'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Take care, man.
Make good choices.
I think that is the important thing. And I think I just hung up on Ashley. Let me see if I can get her back. Ugh, today tech problems. Yes, Red Shirt Diaries is so awesome. Sorry about that. I hung up on everybody instead of just one person.
That's okay.
Yes, Red Shirt Diaries. I can't wait. You've got some big names taking part this year,
including Steven Schleicher.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm not sure about this. I think you made a bad choice.
Nah, he's got a great voice. It'll be pretty cool.
So yes, that'll be fun. But I mean, you've got like people who are working on Star Trek. That fan series.
We have two people from Star Trek Continues who are taking part in the series, and we have two people from Screen Junkies, and another person that we're working on.
God dang it! What's his name? Now I forgot. Oh well. Is it what's his name? Picardo? He's been around for a long time.
I don't know who you're talking about. He was the
holographic doctor.
Oh my god!
That they kind of established that he was around even I think they said that he was established somewhere around the original series time too.
Yeah, I wish we could afford someone like that.
Well, you guys did a great job in funding that campaign through Indiegogo. I mean, you were looking for a certain amount, and I think you doubled it, didn't you?
We almost doubled it, but yeah. We didn't ask for $1 million, so that helps too.
Well, that would be the nice thing, wouldn't it? Next time, season 3, $1 million.
Right, we'll do the Alan Tudyk thing.
There you go. Fabian, what's going on with you this week?
Hi, Stephen. Thanks for taking my call again.
No, thank you.
I'm calling blindly this week. I can't actually watch the show right now because I'm watching a German video studio playing a role-playing game live on Twitch. .tv.
Okay.
They have 37,000 people watching.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what is this game they're playing? Is it a tournament?
It's a homebrew RPG.
Wow. How did they get 37,000 people watching it? Is it that good?
It's Steven, really,
we just need
really
to play
cool.
role-playing games.
Maybe that's what it is. Gee, many Christmas.
Yeah, it's they call it pen and paper, like you called yours Critical Hit.
Right. Okay.
And the system they play, they called TIERS, like an acronym.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a virus zombie thing. They have been a studio that does TV productions. They had a video game TV program.
Let me interrupt you here. This isn't The Dark Eye, is it?
No, that's not The Dark Eye. The Dark Eye is the biggest German RPG. That's right.
Okay.
But they have on the basis of The Dark Eye, I mm-hmm. think they homebrewed this setting and the rules.
Okay. All right.
And they have 212,000 YouTube subscribers.
Man.
And they're really great.
I'm doing people. Something wrong.
No.
You're not broadcasting in German.
Well, that's it. People wouldn't want to hear my German anyway.
Yeah, a smaller audience. I don't know. Less good German content, I think.
That may be it, yeah.
About 90% of my podcasts, 99% are English podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I would not I would not actually listen to the most of the stuff that's put out in German. So I'm calling in the break. Commercial break they do right now, because I just wanted to see if you have talked about the death of Terry Pratchett.
Oh no, we haven't. No, I haven't read that many Terry Pratchett books. Ashley, have you?
I've read the first Discworld book.
Yeah, I think that's all I've read too.
Yeah, I'm a big book person, and I've read nearly everything he wrote, mm-hmm. and it really affected me. This week, it's really sad, and he had Alzheimer's disease and
yes.
Died of consequences, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's just noteworthy, I think. He's the second most second best-selling author of all of Great Britain.
Oh yeah.
So
well, and I mean, he's very well respected in the U.S. and I mean, certainly with sci-fi and fantasy fans, he's super well known. I just have never had a chance to read a lot of his stuff. I know who he is and I know his writing style, but just have never had a chance to read that many books. What is your favorite Terry Pratchett book that you would?
My favorite.
Like right now, for people who have not read very much Terry Pratchett, like Ashley and I, what is the one book you would recommend that we go and get right now through the Amazon link at Major Spoilers and read?
I do think that the first one is a pretty good start.
Discworld?
My personal favorite is final book so far in the Tiffany Aching series. It's called I Shall Wear Midnight, but it's really the pinnacle of his writing and of the series about this girl witch. So maybe start the 4-book series with the We Free Men. We like W-E-E.
Okay.
We Free Men. It's Tiffany Aching, a girl of, I think, 13 at the beginning. She is a witch in a surrounding that doesn't actually make good witches, and it's a chalk the ground is chalk, and witches need a different kind of ground to thrive, I guess.
Okay.
And so it's a little bit like Labyrinth, the movie, because her little sticky innervating brother is always bugging her, and she says, I hope the elf queen comes and takes you away.
Ah.
And she does. So Tiffany and the Wee Free Men, who are little blue gnomes, like Smurf parody at first, but always drinking and cursing. She and all the gnomes go to the elf world with a frying pan as a weapon.
Wow. Well, maybe I'll check that out.
Right now.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And it was a way in, I think, 2003 or so to get the witches back into the universe, because he wrote a lot of books about the elder witches,
mm-hmm.
but they became too powerful, and to write a book about nearly immortal and all powerful beings is boring. And so he invented the little girl witch who had to prove herself and to get to know her powers.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you for that. Well, that's probably the best way to remember Terry Pratchett is to recommend some of his best books and get some other people hooked on his works now.
And also, it is sad that the fifth book in the series will come out soon. I don't really know how much of his original ideas are in the last books,
mm-hmm.
because it's a degenerative disease.
Right.
And his assistant, Rob Wilkins or Rob Wilkinson, he has aided him a lot, but I think he had to fill a lot of spaces that he left. The last books were all dictated to the computer.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry that you're upset about that. But again, the best way to remember someone who's passed is to celebrate everything that they brought to us. And it sounds like The We Free Men is going to be a book that Ashley and I just might get a kick out of. Sure. No, that's okay. That's cool. Not a problem. All right, man. You have a good week. Have a good weekend. Enjoy your live stream of your RPG, and we will talk with you soon. All right? All right. Bye. Yeah, so if people didn't hear James, when he was talking about this week's Dueling Reviews, I did mention that we're going to create a new goal for our VIPs. We're at 800 VIPs right now, which is great. That's a huge increase. We're really proud to have our VIPs who are supporting us and allowing us to do all the things that we're doing, including Finally Friday. But I made this new goal. If we hit 1,200 VIPs, doesn't matter when, but as soon as we hit 1,200 VIPs, we're going to take the Major Spoilers podcast and we will stream that live on Tuesday evenings. I'll probably have some details to work out with Alpha Geek Radio, who's being bringing the live stream to you. But we can do that on once we reach 1,200 viewers. Now, we probably will never, and in fact, I can tell you, we'll never live stream Critical Hit because there's so much stuff that's going on behind the scenes that we take out. But definitely look forward to the Major Spoilers podcast when we hit 1,200. So we're only 400 VIPs away. I think you guys can make that happen this weekend. Yeah, easily. Yeah, not so easily. So before Fabian came on, what is the secret to success with Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and those kinds of projects, those kind of fundraisings, do you think? Yeah, so, you know, I'm in the middle of reading Amanda Palmer's book about asking, right? It's a really good book, and I think people should go check it out. But the other thing, it comes from someone like Adam Carolla. I don't know how familiar you are with him, but he's crowdfunded several movies. His thinking is this, and his philosophy is this: don't spend your own money, because if you spend your own money, there's no guarantee that people are going to go and see the work that you're creating, and thus you end up losing all of that money. Whereas if you have something that's crowdfunded, you know that if it gets funded, you have people who are invested in the end product. And so that kind of pushes you forward to create create the final project and to have as good a project as you can create. So, yeah. Let me call you right back, because for some reason now we're not seeing you show up in our audio feed or in the live stream. So let me call you right back. I don't know what's going on with technology today, listeners. What the heck? Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to have 800 people. It's great to have so many fans out there who believe in what we do. And let's see. Let me just check some things here. Preferences. Audio, video. Oh, there we go. We'll put Ashley there. And let us call Ashley. She may be rebooting too.
Hello?
Ah, now we got you. So just Skype reboot. Stupid computers. Stupid computers. Why can't they just work? Why can't they just do what we want them to do? So you were saying about Adam Carolla with his built-in fan base. Sorry about that.
So someone like Adam Carolla, even though he's not a celebrity on the same scale that someone like Nathan Fillion is, mm-hmm. he has a ton of followers. He has this network of people who follow him and his projects.
Right.
So it's really easy for him to say, like, hey, give me money, and he'll get all the money that he asks for.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're creating something where you own the entire IP on it, you know, like, he's going to make money off the back end with something like Red Shirt Diaries. If you're funding a fan film or an adaptation of a musical that you don't have the rights to, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to see any money off the back end.
Yeah.
I also think that it's important to be able to have something to show, something concrete, like not just to mm-hmm. say, oh, we're going to make a web series and then not have an episode, or not have a teaser trailer, or say, I'm going to make a board game and not have a prototype. Like, I think that's where some people go wrong, and that's kept me mm-hmm. from donating campaigns in the past.
This week, I went crazy on Kickstarter. I donated to Greg Pak and I forget all the group behind it, but it's called The Princess Who Saved Herself. This kind of has spun off of the Code Monkey project that Jonathan Colton had put together, and Greg Pak worked on, and some other people. And then they spun that off with The Princess Who Saved Herself. And they, what they did was, because we were part of the Code Monkey campaign, they sent the PDF of the whole book to everybody who funded the Code Monkey campaign. And they said, by the way, we are kickstarting this in hopes that we can get a hardbound version of this book published. I read through it and I was like, holy crap, I want a hardbound version of this, and went out and subscribed to it. So, you know, in those cases, I can really see supporting that. I mean, I've supported Adam Carolla before on his movie projects, including the new one, Road Hard. Mm-hmm. I guess part of it too is, and I look at Kevin Smith, and he didn't really go through the whole Kickstarter campaign with Red State, but he did, you know, fund that himself. And then he had to go on a huge road tour to try to recoup that money with his fan base. And that was a very long road tour over a course of a year to get his money. Mm-hmm. But he had fans turn out. When he did Tusk, he had a movie studio backing him on that, and it went out to the theaters, and it didn't do anything.
Well, I would also say that Red State is generally more well received than TOS.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know if it's good or bad. I mean, I've seen Red State, but I haven't seen Tusk. And I thought Red State was really good.
I almost went to a free screening for it here, but then I was ill, and I was roundly informed that it was totally okay that I was ill.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, like, quite scary.
That's what it is. It's supposed to be his first foray into horror films. So I'm still interested. I mean, I've got it. I'll be interested to see what happens. But I guess, you know, going from that idea of don't ever spend your own money, which I'm terrible at because for the last almost decade now, everything Major Spoilers has been funded through my own pocket. And now as we try to ramp up our VIPs to help counteract that, since I do this full time, you know, I kind of appreciate people who like you, who are able to have successful campaigns to get people to help support their projects.
Well, when you only ask for $2,000, it's a lot easier to make happen.
Yeah. Well, we're not asking. I mean, we're only asking for $2, $5, or $10 a month. So,
I just meant comparatively to like some other crowdfunding campaigns.
Yeah, for example.
Like you see ones and they're asking for $15,000 and you can't quite see where the costs go.
That Kickstarter Pebble campaign. I don't know if you've seen that.
I did.
I think within just a day of the announcement of that, they made, what is it? Let me find it here real quick. Yeah, they were looking for $500,000, and still with only 14 days to go, they've reached $18 million in this campaign.
That must be hard.
I know, really? It's because they knew that they were going to sell. Everyone is fairly, I mean, I think it was James that was telling me that, Brian Dennett was telling me that he loves his Pebble watch and it's the first generation of the Pebble watch. So if there's already so many fans of that, you kind of knew that this Pebble Steel or Pebble Time or whatever it was going to be was going to sell regardless. Yet they still went to Kickstarter to get it funded. So
yeah, that's one again that I think is this kind of hinky. Like they could have done it on their own, but they didn't want to take
that risk. Yeah.
And there's some point where I feel like that's not okay, but that's my stance on it. It's not right or wrong, blah, 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 blah.
No, it's your opinion. I mean, your opinion is just as valid as anyone else's. So there you go. But so then what's the key to getting more YouTube viewers?
Put a girl in your thumbnail.
That's what Jason keeps telling me.
No, I'm not even kidding. And
I know.
I hate that that's true. Like, as a female, there's a line that you want to walk, you know, and you want to be respected and blah, blah, blah. But like,
right.
For example, our most viewed episode of Red Shirt Diaries is the naked time because,
oh, yeah, because
it's a picture of me in the thumbnail and I look like I'm not wearing any clothes and people will click on that. So
yeah, I'm trying to think. It was funny because I had Jason back when he was working for Rhett and Link. Yeah, I had him come in and guest talk to my students about new media and putting stuff online. And I was like, well, what are the five things that will help you get increased traffic? And one of them was certainly put a female in your link, make your icon blue. And I forget what other words and things, but it was just like, I was like, that's odd. And then I started looking around and sure enough, the ones that end up with, you know, 20 million views are these ones that have scantily clad ladies in their thumbnail.
Or you just need to have a cat as a co-host.
You know what? I've got someone like you who's here, who's a good co-host.
And
you're great. We need to have you here week after week after week. And then we will have increase. I mean, we're up to the nice thing is, and I was talking about this just a little bit ago to some people. They were asking how things have been since I quit my job as far as the site and those kinds of things. And I may have mentioned in one of the other podcasts, but, you know, productivity overall is up like 40% since this time last year, which is great. With Zach and I producing all the videos that we've been doing on the YouTube channel, we have almost now tripled the number of subscribers that we had since last year. Granted, it's not a whole lot, but it's still tripling
growth
those numbers.
Growth is growth.
Yeah, growth is growth. And if you think about it in an exponential way, that's what we're hoping for. So maybe we're tripling it this year. And if we tripled it next year, it would be fantastic. But I would really love to like get 10 times that. But, you know, little by little.
What could happen if we could buy some new equipment and then I could call in with video because I would be afraid it would crash.
yep. That's the only thing because I'm running right now. my CPU is running at 100%, 98 to 100%. And for those people who are listening to the audio feed, you can still hear it, even though I try to clean it out. You can hear the computer just screaming with the fans trying to keep it cool because of all the CPU stuff that we're using. So good times. But hey, we're bringing content to fans around the world. So I'm happy to do it and excited to do it. And I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. Some old guy asked me how I was doing. I was like, life is great, right?
Yeah.
Are you that same way? Is life great for you?
No, life is usually like a struggle.
Why?
But I think.
Well, first of all, you're living in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. I call my mom a lot and she's like, how's it going? I'm like, it's really hard and I'm always tired and I work all the time. And she's like, yeah, but you're doing all these great things. And I'm like, oh, yeah. That's really cool.
That's the thing to kind of keep in perspective is, and it's, I don't know, I've been accused of sometimes being too happy about things, but, you know, you love what you're doing, right?
I do.
So even if it is a struggle, even if you're up until, like I was last night, 2 o'clock in the morning, working on something that's over at members.majorspoilers.com that you can go check out, tying into an upcoming episode of Critical Hit. And it's like, I was just up doing that because I was having fun doing it. And the time commitment didn't matter. The scheduling didn't matter. I mean, when you do something that you love, it's never work, right?
Well, it's never work until you've been doing it for 12 hours.
Well, maybe. Maybe.
You just mind it a lot less.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. We did talk about the Flash and Arrow seasons wrapping up. They have announced those dates. Arrow wraps May 13th. Flash wraps May 19th.
Mm-hmm.
There are some other CW shows, none of them that I watch. Supernatural wraps up May 20th. Vampire Diaries on May 14th. So some shows wrapping in the near future.
Yeah, I can't believe Vampire Diaries and Supernatural are still going.
Over 10 years, right, for Supernatural?
Yeah, it's like 11 or 12. It's so crazy.
Wow. Frozen 2 was announced this week.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Are you not, did you not like the first movie or?
No, I loved the first movie. Of course I did. I cried. But I just think, like most Pixar movies, and I know it's not Pixar, it's Disney.
Right.
Might as well be a Pixar movie. It's a very complete story and it's resolved and it's handled very nicely and they do a good job of not falling into any of the Disney tropes. It's very progressive for a Disney movie. I don't think we need any more of it. I understand that they want more and they want more money, but it's not a concept like The Incredibles. It makes sense to me, to tell their ongoing adventures as the characters mature. I just don't understand from a story perspective why you would tell more Frozen, but they're going to make all the money off of it. So
they're going to make all the money.
Everything. So well done.
They're going to make all the monies. Somebody I think commented that about the Kickstarter campaign for the Pebble. I went ahead and dumped into that Kickstarter campaign for the Pebble because I'm not buying an Apple Watch. Thing is too expensive.
It's certainly more reasonable than that. Yeah.
And I think it's going to do everything that I want it to do. So there you go. People who were commenting there.
I funded a lot of crowdfunding things that have already hit their goal just because I wanted whatever they were offering.
Yeah. So here's a wild idea for Frozen 2.
Okay, hit me.
What if their mom and dad aren't dead? Do you know
this? Interesting.
Do you know this theory that Tangled, Little Mermaid, and Frozen all take place in the same universe within the same time frame?
Yeah. I don't know if I buy it. Well, I know that you actually see...
you do see Rapunzel.
The Little Mermaid one to me is the one that's a bit of a stretch.
Well, the only thing that ties that in is that the ship that is down in the bottom of the sea where they encounter the shark looks an awful lot like the ship that Mom and Dad passed away on, the King and Queen died on, out
in the
sea.
Because they use stock images. It's the same ballroom in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. But, I mean, just imagine that the Sea Witch has kidnapped Mom and Dad. And now it's up to Elsa and Anna to go save them.
I'll take anything with more Ariel. Let's be real.
I really love that first movie. That was so great.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But you can tell it's an 80s movie because the redheaded girl is wearing a pink dress. And that only happened in the 80s.
Yeah. Pretty in Pink was pretty popular. Did you get a chance to watch Powers yet?
I haven't. I don't have a way to watch it legally.
Oh, well, you know, it's the first episode is available free on YouTube from PlayStation.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the first three episodes have been released. Of course, all the rest you have to watch on your PlayStation or buy them at some point in the future. But yeah, go check out that first episode of Powers and see what you think about it. I didn't hate it. At first I thought, and we'll talk about this more next week because we're going to review the first Powers trade on the Major Spoilers podcast. I thought it, to me, it felt like it was true to the original story. And then I was rereading the trade paperback and I'm like, these are not any way, shape, or form related to one another. They have the same characters and some of the same kind of tangent points, but everything else is just way out there and totally different. So, but
I've heard a lot of mixed reviews about the pilot.
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing is Copley, the guy that plays Walker in the series, the lead.
The guy from District 9.
The guy from District 9 and from Chappie. And from Chappie. Yeah. He's putting on an American accent, and it ends up with he's got this weird lisp going in when he's trying to do his sounds. I was like, it took me about five times before I caught it, but then I was like, yeah, there's something going on there. So I don't know what it is, but I didn't mind it. I powered through the first three episodes and was like, oh, well, I'm going to sit down and watch the fourth. And then it's like, oh, well, the fourth one doesn't come out till next week. So,
oh, they're not dumping them all at once. They're not doing the
Netflix
not, model.
They dumped the first three. They dumped the first three all at once. And then all the rest are coming out on a weekly basis.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I'm glad that Netflix isn't doing that with Daredevil next month, because I'll be watching all of those probably within 48 hours of release.
I already called all those episodes for review.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
But this morning. I cannot wait. Well, maybe we should get you on and we can do a dueling review episode. Or a bonus episode up on the member site, like we're doing with Flashback of that. Let's see, 785-727-1939. That's the number that you guys need to call. So glad that so many of you are in the chat room today. So glad that so many of you are calling. So glad that Ashley is here today. Be sure to check her out, The Red Shirt Diaries. Go check it out on YouTube. Watch.
Important.
Yeah. That's got to be the kind of frustrating part, right?
It is, because redshirtdiaries.com is somebody's blog that hasn't been updated since 2010, and he didn't answer my emails when I offered to buy it from him.
Oh, man, that sucks. That sucks.
But it's okay. It's not like it would have been like Red Shirt Diaries web series otherwise. So
Okay. Well, The Red Shirt Diaries, just point your browser there and enjoy it. If you don't want to call, if you don't want to put the long distance phone call in at 785-727-1939, call us on Skype, Steven_Schleicher. Star Wars.
Yeah.
So they announced episode 8, the release date for 2017. That's 17 months after episode 7, but less than a year, right at a year, from the release of the standalone movie called Rogue One.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if they're going to shoot, like, tomorrow.
They're going to have to, right? I mean, Gareth Edwards is directing Rogue One, and we know that it's starring, oh, what's her name?
Felicity Jones.
Felicity Jones. And the thinking is that this might be a prequel to the whole Star Wars saga that looks at Princess Leia as a younger person and getting into the rebellion and that kind of stuff.
Do people just think that because she kind of looks like...
Yeah, she kind of looks like... Yeah, yeah. Well, there was also rumors before she was announced in the movie that the first two Solo movies were going to look at younger versions of Princess Leia and Han Solo.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think you buy into that?
Well, I think she's an amazing actress, so I would go see her starring in anything. That's super cool.
Yeah.
I'm having a pretty hard time getting excited for the Star Wars movies.
How come? Because of Star Trek, right? Of course.
Pardon me?
Because of Star Trek, of course.
Right, of course. I think it's because I was like burned so hard as a little kid on the prequel movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, I'm going to go see them, but I'm not getting all swept up in the hype the way that like everyone else is.
Probably a good idea. Although the directors that they have on board, I like Gareth Edwards a lot.
I do too.
Rian Johnson is good. They've got, what's his name? Chronicle, Josh Trank. Oh. Isn't he working on one too? I think.
Yeah.
And of course you've got JJ Abrams. So, I mean, there's some credibility that comes with these guys. Of course, there was credibility that came with George Lucas too.
There was in the '90s.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that people forget. George Lucas only directed, episode 4, A New Hope, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think another person directed Return of the Jedi, but you've got, other directors getting into that, so that when he comes in and starts directing episode one and Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, yeah, it's been, you know, 40 years or whatever it was, 30 years since he had directed stuff. Well, 20 years between Raiders of the Lost Ark and episode one. So, yeah, I mean, people should expect something a little bit different. So I can understand your hesitation and not getting super excited. I think that if Rogue One, their first standalone movie, is it's not a Yoda movie, it's not a Luke Skywalker movie, it's not a Han Solo movie, but it's a Princess Leia movie, or even just a female led movie, says a whole lot about what they're trying to do.
That's putting a strong foot forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now hopefully they don't
in DC in kind of a hard way.
Hopefully they're not backpedaling and they say, oh no, well, we're also 2 weeks later going to have a Han Solo movie that comes out. So don't worry, guys.
We're going to release them both on Valentine's Day weekend. Sorry.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, they pushed back. What was the movie that they pushed back? Oh, Fantastic Four. With the announcement of this, they pushed back the Fantastic Four movie by a week or two because they didn't want it to bump into the standalone movie. So Fantastic Four 2 is getting a bump back. We're still seeing the first movie. When is that? Next month? May? I forget when the Fantastic Four comes out.
Something like that.
Are you still interested in seeing it or not at all?
I will go see it. I'm not excited about it. But I'm definitely going to go see it.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it too.
There's a lot about it that I'm not super sold on. I hope it's awesome and I hope everyone's doubts are proven wrong, but I don't know.
I have heard some very good things about it. I've also heard some very bad things about it.
Has anybody commented on like advanced screenings? Because I haven't seen anything about it.
That's what I'm saying. The advanced screenings, people have been saying, this is really awesome.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And then there have been a few people that have seen an advanced screening that are like, no, don't bother. So it's really split. And I don't know who to really trust. If somebody who's saying it's really awesome has a secret agenda, or if it's something else. So I don't know.
Or if the people who think it's not awesome are too attached to the comic property or
that,
what.
That could be it as well. Let's see. I got to say, I'm not the slightest interest in the Fantastic Four movie, says Jarmo. So there you go.
But will you still go see it? Because if you still go see it, then they still make money. It doesn't matter how interested you are.
That is the case. If you really don't want to see something, don't go, oh, I'm going to go to this movie just so I can see the train wreck in slow motion. Because then you're just buying into the Hollywood system of, oh, we want to make more Fantastic Four movies. So, yeah, if you don't want to see it, don't go see it. I wish I wouldn't have seen Jupiter Ascending.
I always hear about Transformers movies is everyone says how terrible they are, but everyone goes to see them. So
yeah, and they make $1 billion worldwide. So why not make even more Transformers movies? So
right, what, like the joke's on us.
yeah. What movies are you going to go see? Are you going to go see anything this weekend? This weekend has Cinderella opening.
No. I'm not going to see that. The next movie I think I'm going to see is Avengers because we bought the tickets for them already.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. This weekend has Cinderella Run All Night. That's the action one with Liam Neeson. Eva, Home Sweet Hell, It Follows, Seymour, An Introduction. That's a documentary.
I don't even know what half those are.
I don't know. I know what Run All Night was, but I don't know the rest. There's a foreign movie, a comedy movie, a horror movie, a documentary, a musical, The Tales of Hoffman, and then The Wrecking Crew, which is a drama, which I bet is not a Marvel movie.
Unfortunately.
Then
I know like movie season doesn't ramp up for another month yet. So.
Yeah, no, we're still in the doldrums. By the time you hit March, well, let's see, April 3rd, we've got Furious 7. That's when probably everything's going to ramp up right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of those movies.
You haven't seen any of those?
No.
It's probably for the best. Probably for the best. Not to put them down. I mean, there's some fun to be had in those movies, but they're kind of like, you know, let's get our adrenaline pumped up and just turn off our minds and just enjoy this for, you know, however long the movie is.
And that's awesome. And again, they make a ton of money. So.
They do. That's why they've got, what, I think two more planned after this. So,
hey, Vin Diesel put up his house in order to finance the last Riddick movie because he didn't go to crowdfunding. So he needs to get money.
Yeah, he does.
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, he does. See, that's the bad thing. You put up all this money yourself, you lose your house if the movie does
poorly.
That's
so hardcore, though. Like, I think that really speaks to how much he believes in that project. I think that's an incredibly, like, amazing thing to do.
But again, that goes back to if there's not an audience for it, It's
but there
rather
was,
difficult.
And he's making another one.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But yeah, it's definitely a double-edged sword.
What else is going on in your world, Ashley?
We're painting the set on Saturday.
Yay! How's the search for studio space going?
It's going. We've had some offers, but they're not within super easy range.
Right.
So we'll find a place.
You have to go like down to Orange County or something.
Yeah, like San Pedro has a really nice space, but it's like an hour drive from where we live. So
yeah. That's not fun.
We have our first round of recording with our voice actors on Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. I hope they all work out.
I hope so. Well, I'm not directing it, so it'll be fine for me.
Oh, I know what I was going to ask. I know what I was going to ask you. What do you use for your writing software?
I use Celtics because it's free.
Yeah, that's what I use too. I was working on a script. I was working on a script today for this bit that runs tonight on the Critical Hit podcast, and I was like, "Huh, I wonder what Ashley uses for the script."
A lot of people swear by Final Draft.
Yeah, it's kind of the industry standard kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's cool.
It's
and
really
if
expensive.
If someone
pays
me to write a script, I'll probably buy it.
$600 or something. At least that's what it was the last time I looked.
Pricey.
Yeah, and then are you also using that for when you're doing your comic book work?
I do all my comic book work in Microsoft Word, actually.
Oh, okay. Cool.
The format that I use. Like, there's no industry standard in comics, which is what's really cool about it.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I like to work works best with Microsoft Word. Nobody's ever given me a hard time about it.
That's good.
So that's well, I knew sure that someday I'll get an artist who's a Mac user who will hate it. And
yeah, no.
Then I'll probably change.
Mac people can open up anything pretty much. So.
And not Microsoft Word documents, apparently.
I can open up Microsoft Word documents. It just comes in and says, warning, there may be some formatting errors that did not transfer because this is a Microsoft Word document.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Like, when I have to send my resume, like my CV to a Mac to print it, it usually gets all jacked up and I have to reformat it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, just save it as a PDF and print it out that way. Well, the reason I asked is because, you know, there's a comic book format in Celtics that I didn't know if you
use
that. Yeah.
I didn't use that. Like, the first time I ever wrote a comic book was for the Cow Talent Hunt last year, 2 years ago.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And they sent us a bunch of samples, and I wound up using a lot of what Tim Seeley does in his scripts because he was we got his script and I was like, oh, I really like his stuff. I'll write like him.
Yeah.
And then
cool.
A friend of mine, Sterling Gates, who wrote recently for DC Comics, was like, you should do this, and it makes the letterer's job easier. And so now I do like a little thing that he told me to do.
Excellent. Very neat. Get some inside stuff, and maybe one of these days we will have you back on the show. Well, no, I know we're going to have you back on the show, but we're going to have you back on the show to talk about your comic book work.
Oh yeah, I have an anthology coming out, and then a super secret Top Cow project. So
super secret Top Cow project. That's what I'm saying. When it's out, we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about it. Oh, there's also a new podcast that you're working on.
Yeah, in January, I think it was in January, it might have been December, I tweeted, like, not seriously, and I was like, what if I did a Silmarillion podcast, and I read a page of the book and told you why it was awesome?
And then I instantly replied, I want that on the Major Spoilers Podcast Network,
got, like,
let's make it happen.
Followers who were like, do it now, and I was like, guys, I was, like, half serious. and so I bought a copy of the Silmarillion that I can, as I read it several times, that I can make notes in, and I have 5 episodes sort of plotted out. Like, I go through and every
Excellent.
Time there's like a word, I'm going to explain it. But I wanted to launch it in March, but I'm going to leave it until after principal photography of Richard Berry's Wraps, the second weekend in April. So I want to launch it at the end of April.
Okay. Well, let us know what we can do to help, and let's get it on the podcast network.
You can tell me how to live stream, because my plan is that every 5th episode would be live and I could answer people's questions live.
All right. We can do that.
I have no idea how to do that.
We can do that. All right. If you're looking for me, you can find me on Saturday at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City. My son and I are going to get up way early in the morning, and we're going to drive to Kansas City, and we're going to spend the day at Planet Comic Con. D&D Brian and Rob Rasmussen are already there, so they're going to have some fun. So look for them. They're going to be there all weekend. I'm just there on Saturday because I've got Major Spoilers work to do. I got YouTube videos to edit and put up and produce and all that good stuff. So,
yeah.
But if you're up in the Kansas City area, if you go to Planet Comic Con this weekend, look for a couple of guys. Maybe we might be wearing these shirts. I don't know if you can see these. Ah, I wonder what that shirt means. Just look for us, say hello. Love to talk with you. Love to chat and say hi and see what's going on in your world. So look for us there. Ashley, it has been a pleasure having you on the show, as always.
Thanks for having me.
You are welcome back anytime, as always. And listeners and viewers and everyone who called in, thank you so much. VIPs, thank you so much. We're going to wrap it up there because I do have to go get kids from school. And until next time, when it's finally Friday, take care, have fun, and we will talk with you real soon.